Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo. Prahlad Maharaj was an extremely powerful and great devotee. To give you an idea of how powerful he was, you should understand that one incarnation of the Lord, Krishna, who is called Lord Nrisimhadev, he came just for the purpose of this one devotee. He was so powerful that he pulled, he attracted the supreme all-powerful Lord to come to this world. And when the Lord comes, that is called avatara. Avatar. So Prahlad, even though a young boy of 5 years old, was unlimitedly powerful, because by his nature, because of him, he pulled the Lord to come. What I wanted to speak about was the qualities, something about the qualities of Prahlad that made him so powerful. Because in this world, everyone is searching for power. What motivates the wealthy man to try to become more wealthy? He wants power, because money brings power. And in this world, power gives one the ability to control. Without power, we can't control. And without control, we cannot enjoy. And if you have no control over life, that is a very frightening experience. So people want power. People want power to control. And people want power to enjoy. Ishwaraham maham bhogi. Who knows the rest of that verse? Siddham. Balavan, Sukhi, I am powerful. But this mentality of trying to gain power for the purpose of controlling was not the mentality of Prahlad Maharaj. With that mentality, he could not have pulled the all-powerful to come, because the all-powerful cannot be pulled by any power greater than him, because why? Because there's no power greater than the all-powerful, obviously. Necessarily true. But there is a power that attracts the all-powerful. And that is what the pastime of the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev teaches us. I wish to speak a little bit about the qualities that Prahlad had, because even though he was a young boy, again, they pulled the all-powerful to come. He became more powerful than the all-powerful because of his bhakti. Because Krishna, not only is he all-powerful, but he's also known as Bhakta Vatsalya. Because when you conceive of an all-powerful person, and he tells you, if you don't worship me, you're not going to be happy, then okay, go worship him. Because why will we worship him? Why? If someone says, if you don't worship me and he's all powerful, you're not going to be happy and you're going to be so miserable, why will we worship him? Fear, and because we want to be happy and we don't want to be miserable, there won't be any devotion or true love in that worship, because fear and love cannot go together. So Prahlad, what were his qualities? One of his qualities was fearlessness. His father was in this world, according to the standards of material power, he was all powerful. He was so powerful that the devas, every one of them, other than Brahma, Shiva, everyone, all the powerful persons of in this universe would come and offer their obeisances to him out of fear. And his name was, what was Prahlad's father's name? Hiranyakashipu. And that his very name implies what he did with his great power. He enjoyed having power. He enjoyed making everyone subservient to him. He enjoyed having everyone bow down to him. He enjoyed everyone being terrified of him. And he would drink his liquors and enjoy his many wives, girlfriends, anyway. He would really enjoy life. But Prahlad, his five-year-old son, actually frightened him, because he would not come under the power of his father. He would not be intimidated or controlled by his father, even though his father was so powerful. He remained consistently and only fearless. And again, he had the simplicity of heart of a five-year-old boy. It is not by accident that this great devotee appeared as a five-year-old boy, because there is a simplicity of heart. Is anyone in this room 5 years old? Still? You're 5 years old? What is your name? Sarala? Shreya. Oh, that's a very auspicious name. Simplicity of a five-year-old. Why does a five-year-old have simplicity of heart? Because they have not met the realities of the material world yet. They're always under the protection of mother and father, because they are simple, sharl, and pure. Later on, their lives will become more complicated, for sure, as ours have become more complicated. And we'll think that to be fearless in the material world has an element of foolishness in it, and simplicity in the material world means you will be exploited. But Prahlad was not like that. And his natural protector was not his mobile phone. We should have a rule. Either turn off your mobile phone, or at least make it sing Hare Krishna for us when it goes off during a program. I know there's one devotee. He has the most interesting mobile phone ring. When someone calls him, you hear
moo. Moo.
It's probably the only one. So in any case, Prahlad was fearless, even though his natural protector, which was his father, was trying to kill him. Yes. His own father, his natural protector, was continuously trying to kill him, because Prahlad would not subserviate himself. He would bow down, but he kept his devotion to Lord Vishnu, who was the enemy, the competitor of Hiranyakashipu. And I would like, if nothing else, If you will not remember anything else from this class, I want you to remember one thing, please. Do not make Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, your competitor. Because do not try to fight with him, to compete with him. Why? Oh, you should know this one. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? It's very obvious. Don't fight with God. Don't fight with someone who's all powerful. You don't even have to have a, as they say, it's not rocket science. Don't fight with the Lord. Don't make him your competitor. You cannot win. Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad's father, as powerful as he was, ended up being completely ripped apart by the all-powerful Lord Nrisingadev, who came. Do you know why he came? Do you know why?
I know.
Yes, why did he come, dear? Yes. Thank you. What is your name? Excuse me? Oh, what a nice name. And how old are you?
Four.
See what it's like being young? Such innocence. Innocence comes from being protected. But again, Prahlad's experience was his father wasn't protecting him, but trying to kill him. But why was Prahlad fearless? Is because he had the greatest protector, and that was the Supreme Lord. He felt himself so sheltered by Krishna. Whatever he did, he was fearless. And not only was he fearless, he was bold, he was brave. And when someone asked him a question, he would answer it honestly. What's another word for honestly? Thank you. Truthfully. That's the one I was thinking of. He would speak truthfully. And his realization of where his shelter was and what the truth was so deep. It was so powerful. Because truth is the same. An old Indian saying, but not India, but old Indian meaning the other kind, the red Indians. Are there any red, what they call red Indians in India? Native Americans, as they call them in the United States. There's an old Native American saying, he who speaks the truth must also have a very fast horse. You like that one? You can have it next time you give class. Anyway, it's public domain. Prahlad was naturally a devotee because he had heard from Narada Muni while still within the womb of his mother. And the words of Narada Muni, who was so potent, a devotee, potent devotee himself, they entered his heart and they fixed him in his shelter, knowing Amame Kam Charanam Vraja, that if I give myself to Krishna, if I trust Krishna fully, that he will protect me. Mafuchami, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry. Charanamrita, by the way. You have something very wonderful to look forward to. So, Prahlad was naturally a devotee, having heard from, do you know? From who? Narada Rishi, Narada Muni. And he went to school. And he didn't go to a devotional school. he went to a school that was completely materialistic. Now, this is a good lesson for all the children who go to a school where they don't teach that surrender to the Supreme Lord is the ultimate principle. All children who go to school, raise your hand. Very good. All, yes. Please listen very carefully. Yes. That he was going to school and they were trying to teach him that it is possible to enjoy yourself unlimitedly in this material world. And to enjoy yourself unlimitedly, all you need is to amass wealth and power and prestige, and using that power, you can truly enjoy. Now, although many of us are not in grade school anymore, where they're teaching us all the basic fundamental principles so that we can enjoy it. But having learned this in our own youth, now we are going to a different kind of school. And that school that we are going to, through, the school of life, will teach us that this original teachings we had in the materialistic education is wrong, is incorrect, because we cannot enjoy ourselves, what to speak of unlimitedly in this world. We cannot actually enjoy ourselves at all. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Very, very difficult to become convinced of that. Enjoyment is relative. The pig, the hog, who was in the sewer of Vrindavan in the summer, in the sewer, and it's so hot, but he's in the sewer, and he's thinking that he's in pig heaven, and this is the greatest thing that can actually happen, is to be in a sewer in the heat. And none of us would agree to that principle regardless of how hot we are. I won't call for a raising of hands of who would jump into the open sewer if it was very, very hot, because, of course, it's obvious that no one would do it. We can't do it. Human cannot do that. But a pig, in his happiness, in his body, with his pig hog mind, thinks, yes, this is heaven. You think that's funny? We're laughing. Some of us are laughing. And some of us might be crying inside. Because to see with spiritual vision and know what actual happiness a soul is capable of, and to see the soul in such a terrible, abominable position in a big body, drinking, eating. So it can be heartbreaking. For a person, one time Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's sannyas disciples said to Prabhupada, when I see the suffering of the people in this world, sometimes I cry. And Prabhupada replied, why only sometimes? Spiritual vision means seeing the disparity, the difference between what the soul is capable of and the level on which he enjoys. And the person with truly compassionate spiritual vision, like Prabhupada, like Prahlad Maharaj, like so many compassionate spiritual leaders, they are willing to forego their own happiness to help others. So Prahlad had achieved full shelter by the mercy of Narada Muni. He achieved full shelter, fully realized shelter and protection at the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore, after attending a school in which they tried to convince him that materialistic endeavor can bring happiness, even though this body, our body, my body, will one day die. It must die. It must get diseased. It must give aches and pains. It must get old. The teeth must fall out. The hair has already fallen out. Some teeth, actually, too, to tell you the truth. Etc. And the knees, it must give us trouble. It must. And to try, you're sitting so nicely. What an attentive, very good devotee girl. And to be convinced that this is going to bring me happiness, that I'm going to be happy forever, and that tomorrow will be just like today, and the next day just like that, and the next day, and it's going to go on and on and on and on and on. This is called Maya, or illusion, and this is the illusion that we're trained in, and we're very willing participants of this illusion as well. We want this. We want this. We want to. We want to believe the advertisement in the material world that we can enjoy here forever. We want to believe this, and therefore we fall right into the trap. But Prahlad was different. So when his father asked him, he took him on his lap, as fathers tend to do with their young sons. My dear boy, please tell me the best thing that you learned in school today. And Prahlad did not recite history lessons or his mathematics lessons. He spoke very, very truthfully, very innocently, very honestly, and it was in bad taste. Hiranyakashipu did not appreciate it. He told them on more than one occasion, Father, Father, what you should do, what I have, the best thing that I have learned, Manam, go to the forest. You should give up your grihamanda kupam, your materialistic illusion that I am powerful, that I can be happy, controlling. You give it up and go to the forest. Harim Asriyeta. What does Harim Asriyeta mean? And take shelter of Lord Hari. Prahlad had gained this shelter. And he was fearless even before his powerful father. He had gained the shelter of Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord, the Param Ishvara. And when one, if one, can gain that shelter, under the shelter of the lotus feet of the all-powerful, who is Bhaktivatsalya, who protects his devotees, what can cause him fear in this world, in any world? If one can only gain that shelter, that is the shelter that we all, in the heart of our hearts, long for. That is true shelter. Everything else is called Durasraya. Asraya means shelter, and Durasraya means false shelter. So Prahlad was able to speak so boldly, and his father, when he heard these words, my dear father, he actually didn't call him father, he called him Asurya Bharja, means the best of the Asuras. Asura, roughly translated into English, means demons. Oh, best of the Asuras. Those who try to become all-powerful on their own, give up all common sense, and may achieve some power for a short time, whose position will in time be ground into powder by the force of Krishna's Kala Shakti. Kala Shakti means time. Time element. So Haranyakashipu was not pleased, but he wasn't angry yet, because he thought, he's just a little boy. Who has told him these things? He's sitting on my lap. He's my son. And everyone knows that the son takes on the qualities of the father. So he must be a very pure materialist also, like his father. So he did not become angry, but he wondered who had put these strange thoughts that one should take shelter of Lord Hari in this boy's mind. So he called the two teachers named Sandanamarka, and he told the boys, you teach this boy properly. And it is especially important to note that Hari, Lord, Haranyakashipu considered the Lord his great enemy. Who knows why? Specifically why? His brother, whose name was? He had killed his brother, of course. His brother had done his mischief. So Haranyakashipu was an avowed enemy of Lord Vishnu. So when Prahlad saw, when the two teachers heard from Haranyakashipu that this boy was speaking on behalf of Vishnu, who was the enemy, the boy was told, he was taken aside by the two teachers, his name was, again, do you know what the teachers said? Sanga and Amarka. And he said, they spoke to him so sweetly, actually. My dear boy Prahlad, you are such a nice boy, so sweet and obedient. Now please tell us, they spoke sweetly for their own reasons, they wanted him to relax and open up his mind and not be afraid, and tell them who it was who had poisoned them with the concept of surrender and taking shelter of the enemy, Hari, Vishnu. And Prahlad's reply, and again, this is just going to tell us one drop of the qualities of Prahlad, one drop from the ocean of Prahlad's unlimited qualities, because this is how Prahlad replied. He said to him, who caused you put the idea that you should take shelter of Hari, your father's enemy, our enemy? Who put this idea in your mind? Don't be afraid. You just tell us. We'll give you a nice sweet, because generally children will do anything for a sweet, and sometimes adults as well. So what did Prahlad reply? He said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose Maya, his illusory energy, has created the distinction between friend, my friend, and this one is my enemy. And thus, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. These are Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita too. And thus, by thinking always of this person's my friend, and this person is my enemy, and this one is the friend of my enemy, so he's my enemy, and this one is the friend of my friend, that I should bring him closer, and he'll be my friend. And always thinking in this form of duality, friends and enemies. And when I see my friend, I'm happy. And when I see my enemy, what emotion comes to the mind? Anger. What else?
Fear.
Yes. My dear devotees, if we want to be fearless, and we all want to be fearless, because fear is the root emotion of being in this world, we are fearful. Fearful of what? Well, we all have our personal lists of what we're fearful of. Fearful of my stocks going down. Fearful of my enemy's stocks going up. Fearful of fire. Fearful of this. Fearful of that. Fearful of ultimately. Fearful of death. Yes, fearful of putting ourselves in the hands of Krishna instead of in my own hands, which I already know are so wonderful, and I can protect myself, and I will never get old, and they will never let me down. But I fear giving myself to Krishna. We all know better than anyone else how much we've let ourselves down. In any case, Prahlad said this to the teachers. But this fear is part of the deluding energy of the Lord. And he said, previously I have heard that people think in this way, because this type of thinking was so foreign to Prahlad. Imagine the consciousness of Prahlad. He was so simple and pure-hearted and felt himself so protected by the Lord that he had no experience of considering this one my friend and this one my enemy, and he had no experience of fear. He had no experience of fear. So here, this is one quality already that Prahlad is explaining or exhibiting that was so powerful. His surrender was so deep and complete that he couldn't understand, practically speaking, the concept of friend and enemy and fear. And therefore, Vishwapana Sukhayate, he can live in this world as a happy place under the umbrella of Krishna's mercy, under the umbrella of Krishna's lotus feet. So he said, now I'm actually hearing about what I've seeing with my own eyes what I previously only theoretically heard about, that people actually think in this way. And then he said something very interesting, especially for those who have spiritual aspirations, and especially for those who want to attain this type of a platform, even though it may seem very far away. Prahlad explains how one can attain this. And he said, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the second verse, is pleased with a soul because of his bhakti, because of his devotion, because that is what pleases the Lord. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomam bhakti prajati asnami. I will accept the offerings that are given to me when they are given with devotion, with bhakti. Because after all, he's the all-powerful. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need the flower, the fruit, the water, the cake, the offering of charanam. He doesn't need anything. But just like the wealthy father, so much from the core of his heart appreciates the simple gift of his loving child. So Krishna appreciates and accepts the gifts we give him with broken balloons? Maybe they're trying to tell us the class is over. Let me at least finish this sentence. It's confirmed that. Oh, it was a confirmation. The confirmation. What did I say about Krishna again? I can't remember anymore. It was so long ago. It was a gift of to have fearlessness, to have this consciousness where one actually sees that every living entity is a soul and doesn't see them as their bodies. Of course, we have to act practically. We can't act like we might see an old friend and embrace them. And when we see a tiger, we can't act on that, oh, he's a soul, so therefore I should go and embrace him. Kapila Muni describes this very carefully in the third canto. But yet that vision of equality of all living entities, this is the vision of a pundit, a learned person. This is true knowledge. Pandita Samadarshana. What chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Fifth chapter. Thank you. How does it begin, that verse? Vidya.
Vidya Vinaya Kampanyam.
Brahmani. Sees equally. Sees. What's the equality of a dog eater, an elephant? What's the equality? Is that Krishna is in the heart of everyone, along with that soul. The soul is there, giving life, but it is Krishna in the heart who is giving life even to the soul. That's the second warning. The windows of opportunity are closing. Or maybe they're opening. First the balloon pops and Windows announces it's entered. Does that mean that it's ready to play? Does it work? It doesn't work. So sad. I know what to do, actually. You have to go into properties and make it dual monitors. You know how to do that? Into the settings and make it dual monitors, and it'll work on the second monitor. I think. So, Prahlad was actually on this level of not making distinctions because the Lord was pleased with his devotional service. And then he thinks intelligently, Prahlad says. This he's speaking to his teachers who are completely inimical to this idea. He was very bold, very simple, pure, very truthful and honest. He says, he thinks, a person who has this vision thinks every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from each other, not different in the sense we are all one, but there is a oneness amongst all living entities. And how much this world needs this type of spiritual knowledge and realization. That because a person has a different color, or is a member of a different religion, or is this, or there was some enmity between families or cultures 5,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, that this doesn't mean that the soul who is in that body, who is giving life to that body, it doesn't mean that he is my enemy, and therefore I can kill them and exploit them or subordinate them, and etc. How much the world needs this transcendental knowledge that is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita to remove all this wickedness and enmity which is caused by agyan, ignorance. How much the world needs this transcendental knowledge. And therefore Prabhupada was very, very, very determined to award transcendental knowledge to the people of this world through his books and through his ISKCON movement. That is the purpose of ISKCON, of Prabhupada's movement, is to spread transcendental knowledge, to spread the chanting of Krishna's holy names, and to spread transcendental knowledge. Because the world is dying from this. You look at all the problems of the world, from the greenhouse gas emissions. Why is that happening? Why does that happen? Because people exploit and exploit and exploit. They think that the material nature is meant for my pleasure only, and exploit and exploit and exploit. Look at another problem. What's another problem? Anyone have anything to think about it? Are there any problems in the world?
Economy crisis.
You think there might be some greed attached to that problem? And a false economy of, as they call it, fiat? Or what on the US dollar, what do they write? Why? Because you're putting his name, he signed on it or something like that. It's only a piece of paper. It used to be backed up by gold, but due to the greed of people, they just, when you have a problem, just print more of it. It causes what? Inflation. Money has less value. Greed, greed, greed. Lust, anger, greed. Crime. Dissatisfaction of people. So many problems. Prabhupada wanted transcendental knowledge to enter the consciousness of the people of this world, and he said it would create a revolution of consciousness in the hearts of mankind. They would also stop exploiting the poor animals and not seeing, stop exploiting the meaning, thinking that the existence of the animals was just for the pleasure of my tongue and the crocodiles to make shoes out of, or whatever people do with crocodile, or hats or something. Just imagine. How would you like to be looked at in that way? That you exist for me to eat, and I can hunt you and make a plan, a conspiracy, to kill you. Because I have more power than you. This is ignorance. There's a soul, an experiencing soul in that body. Oh, did you get cooking? Oh, well, that's good news. Actually, I think I do have it also. I think I might have it on a backup drive, too. Let's just see if it's a bag of tricks. Okay, but here it is. It's called Puppet Show. Put that in your computer and run it. Let's see. There's a folder called Puppet Show. So how much is transcendental knowledge required in this world for ourselves, for our family, for our country, our nation, for the world itself? So then Prahlad says, persons who always think in terms of enemy and friend are not able to see that the super soul, that God is within everyone's heart. Because we're in this world of illusory duality, we cannot see reality. See how honest and straightforward Prahlad was? If anyone is feeling uncomfortable hearing these things, just imagine how Sundana Mok and Aranyakasipu were feeling. They confronted completely their everyday vision of reality, and to be confronted with spiritual truth is very difficult, very difficult for the mind, but it is medicine that is bitter in the beginning, but if we take it, it becomes sweet because it puts us in touch with Krishna, with transcendental reality. Illusion. Illusion is so wonderful for a short time, but if there's a fight between illusion and reality, who's going to win? Just like if anyone could get in the illusion for a few moments, they're so powerful, they could walk through that wall. Not the doors, the wall. There's some people who don't do these things because, you know, they read too many physics books and they see that quantum physics books and that they think that they're, or they know too much atomic theory and they think there's mostly space between the atoms. So therefore, I'll just be walking through mostly space. So therefore, I'm very convinced that I'm going to walk into the wall and go through it. But that's illusion. And if there's a fight between... Does anyone want to try this right now? We can have a very vivid example. Is anyone convinced they could walk through a wall? No, no, put your hand down. You're too little to be convinced. You're too convinced. Because if there's a fight between illusion and reality, illusion always... I should have made it a little easier. I should have given hints. Illusion always loses when it fights reality. It always loses. Remember that too. So illusion is not a proper shelter for us. Reality is a proper shelter. So that Prabhupada and his presentation and his way of presenting things, and Prahlad's for that matter, it can shake us if we're based, if our whole life is based on illusion, if we're convinced we're going to walk through the wall. It will shake us, it will disturb us, it will sound like bad news, but actually it's the best of news. It is the best of news because it will wake us from illusion. Are they ready? Okay. Actually, amazingly enough, I had a plan to speak after and tell you how great Prahlad was. But after seeing the whole pastime of Prahlad, I was going to speak. But instead of that, I was tricked. Are we ready? From 4 minutes in. Exactly 4 minutes. Exactly, not 1 second before, and not 1 second less. And this puppet show is wonderful because it is about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, and it will last exactly the amount of time that we have. It has been allotted. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. You also listen so attentively, especially. A little girl who was sitting here. Yes.